good to be here this morning. We're going to start a new series on the book of Acts. I love doing book series, I do, and I really want to spend some time in the book of Acts because I think we're at an interesting juncture as a society. Everything's changing so much. How do we respond as a church? And I think we've identified, we've talked about kids these days, they want something different from church. And we're trying to figure out, how does the Christian church respond to culture today? And so I think it's good to go back and look at, what did they do in the first century when they were essentially inventing church? And so we want to spend some time with that. I think we had our visioning meeting a few weeks ago, April 27th, and what was really encouraging to me was to just get that sense that we as a church have an identity. We know who we want to be, and which I think is awesome. And now it's like, how do we put wheels on that? What do we do to make that alive and active and go forward? So I think for me, this series is an opportunity to get into the book of Acts, see how the Holy Spirit led that early church, and ask ourselves the question, what does that mean for us? And I don't go into this series with an agenda. I don't go into this series saying, I want to take the church in this direction. I go into this series earnestly and honestly praying that together, as we go through the series, the Holy Spirit talks to us and we hear together clear call for what God would like us to do in Chilliwack as Crossroads Church. So that's my hope. And I think as we get into that, I just want to do a really quick refresher. I know I did this sermon like 3 years ago, so it's fresh in all of your minds, I know. But let's review anyways. Why do we do church? What's the purpose of the church? And so I want to say this, the underlying purpose of the church is this. It's to draw all people towards God. That's why the church is here. And I had this idea, this image of church as God is like the magnetic North Pole. And all of us have a compass. And that compass points toward God. And all of us have we can either follow that compass or we have choices to make and we cannot follow the compass. But all of us have that compass. Now, where are you? And, we can follow that compass. And I think the purpose of the church is to encourage people and help people and facilitate people on their journey. And I think of the equator, let's say. Is the line, and there's a line. There's a point in your journey where you say, yes, I believe in God. I believe in the magnetic North Pole, and I want to head there. And there's a point as we go towards God that we realize, I'm a sinner, and I need some help. And there's a point where we learn about Jesus and that he sacrificed sin, and we say, yes, I put my trust and my faith in Jesus. And I think when we do that, we cross this equator. We cross a line that says, I believe in Jesus and I'm following this path toward God. We're excited next week. We have Amy is going to be baptized next week, and we're excited about that and love to hear from you if you want to take that step of faith. And another exciting piece of news is we're not going to borrow a baptismal tank. We actually bought our own. And so woohoo! So that'll be exciting. Where was I? Distracted. But when you cross the equator, often in our minds we think that's the Christian journey. Now I'm a Christian, I'm saved. Yeah, but we're still at the equator. There's a lot more journeying to do. And what your journey is going to look like is going to be, some people are crossing the Sahara Desert. As they cross the equator, they're in the Sahara Desert, and they got a long way to go. Some people are in the Rocky Mountains. I mean, some people are on a wide, beautiful road going through the prairies. Different people are in different places, and we as a church are called to help facilitate that journey towards God, journey towards Jesus. And so what we do as a church four kind of ways that we do church, things that we do. First of all, one is evangelism, which is really calling people to cross the equator, you know? And I think that we realize, you know, we're going to talk about Jesus' commission for us as the church, and that's a big part of it, is to be a beacon of light and say, yes, tell the story of Jesus. But that's not all. Another function of the church, another reason is fellowship. And we do that well, don't we? We love being together. And it's great to be on a journey together with other people. It's much harder to travel alone. When my kids were little, we went on a canoe trip, a multi-day canoe trip, and my kids were not able to carry a whole lot. That was hard work. So the next year, I invited a bunch of my friends to come with me. Now there were four dads and seven kids all coming together. That was a lot of backpacks to carry things like frying pans and stuff that you didn't have to just carry alone. It's so much nicer to do this journey together, and that's what fellowship is about. Another function of the church is what we just experienced, worship. Yeah, I can worship God in my car, I do. I can worship God at home, listen to some music, pray, meditate, whatever. But there's something about gathering as a group of people, lifting God's name together, that is just so wonderful. And so that's another purpose of the church. And finally, another purpose of the church is to serve. And so we have our Serve Sundays. We want to be out there helping people. I love our Mexico mission trip because, yeah, part of it is evangelism. I have a bunch of friends who aren't Christians, and my one friend, as I said, I was going to go to New Mexico, he says, well, aren't there a bunch of Christians there already? Why do you need to go down there? It's like, well, it's not really necessarily about, you know, making Christians. It's like people need help, and we're giving them a substantial help by allowing them to have a nice, solid place to live. And by doing that, we show the love of God, and in indirectly, evangelism. I know when I worked as a missionary pilot, you know, people confuse service and evangelism, and our mission at SIM was very much about a service. We help people with agriculture, help people in a number of different ways. We ran hospitals and so on, and so that was service. And yes, there's a piece of evangelism that comes with that, because as we demonstrate the love of God to people around us, they say, well, what are you about? And then we get to witness. But I think we are called to, Matthew 25 talks about we're called to clothe the naked, feed the hungry. That's our call as a church as well. So those are sort of the four functions of the church, what we're supposed to do. Now, how that looks is going to be different in different contexts, different places. Look through the history of Christianity, it's looked different. But we got to keep in mind, no matter what we do, that's what we're trying to do as the church. And so we get into the book of Acts today, and when we start in the book of Acts, we start with this really, really tender shoot coming out from the ground. 120 believers is all they had. And we're going to see how that grows and grows and grows. It's an amazing story of God's love. And I'm going to bounce all around Acts chapter 1 today. Because I'm picking and choosing verses because I'm trying to make a point. So let me give you the top view of Acts chapter 1 is basically this. Jesus meets with his disciples. He gives them the commission. He ascends into heaven. The disciples and all the believers get together and have a meeting and say, we got to pick a new apostle to replace Judas. So they pick a guy. That's Acts chapter 1, okay? It's the whole thing. So we're going to pick some verses to have a look and help us understand some other things through this. So let's, one point I want to make is a quote from Seneca, a Roman philosopher. Every new beginning comes from some other beginning's end. And I always love these little trees coming out of the stump of a dead tree. It's a good image, I think, and I can't help but think about the apostles. We're going to be halfway through the book of Acts before the apostles fully realize that they're not Jewish men anymore, that there's a whole part of their Jewishness that they have to put aside, that their identity is now in Christ. Their identity is no longer Jewish, but their identity is now Christian. It's going to take them a long time to get to that point. And I think that for all of us, as we come to Christ, as we come more and more fully, as we make that journey from the equator to the magnetic North Pole, there's a lot of realization about things that we have to set aside. The Bible talks about putting to death the old self, and there's a whole journey that has to happen. And the apostles are about to go on that journey, and we're gonna go on that journey a little bit with them. Okay. Acts chapter 1 begins with these words. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. And so, we know he wrote a former book. Everybody know what former book that was? The book of Luke. So this is Luke and Acts are basically two volumes of the same work. And in Luke writes about Jesus' life. And now he writes about the growth of the church. And so he starts like right here, Jesus' ascension. And which is roughly the year 33. And when the book concludes, it's around the year 58, we think. And so about 25 years of the history of the church. Now, I think people make the mistake and think this is the whole story of the beginning of the church. It's not. I mean, Luke only knows what Luke knows. He's not omniscient. And so Luke tells the story about the early Jerusalem church, but fairly soon Luke gets hooked up with Paul, and so we do hear a lot about Paul's missionary journey. And I think sometimes we think, oh, well, Paul was doing everything. What were the other apostles doing? The other apostles were doing stuff. It's just Luke wasn't with them, so he doesn't get to tell the story. The apostles actually went in all directions. And we know, for instance, like Thomas, we believe, went to India. Other apostles went to North Africa. Some apostles went into Northern Asia. The Christian word went every direction. And what's amazing, what's mind-boggling, it starts at 120 people. And by the end of this story, by the year 58, tens of thousands of people were Christians. And Christians came to the attention of the Roman Emperor. And the Roman Emperor felt threatened by this new faith and started persecuting Christians. Like, for me, that's one of the touchstones of my faith, because I know that in those first 25 years, the Jewish leaders, if they could have produced Jesus' body and put an end to this, they would have. But they had no body to produce because Jesus had risen again. And so for me, this is a huge touchstone, is this incredible growth of the Christian church early years is I think just cool. It's just cool. So, okay, moving on. I love this. Verse 6. Then they, the apostles, gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? It's a question that makes sense. Jesus died, but now he's risen again. There he is physically. You're going to keep doing your ministry now, right? You're going to keep doing your stuff, and you're going to lead us and overthrow the Romans and reestablish the Israel nation, right? And Jesus says, yeah, not so much. It's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. At this point, the apostles don't even know that they're the ones going to start the church. They're still thinking that's Jesus. Jesus is the leader. What? You're not hanging around? What? No, it's you guys. Over to you is what Jesus says. And so that's the context for the verse that Kyle already read. He says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And so the commission is given here to the apostles. I think that this is Luke's telling of the same commission that Jesus gives in Matthew 28, where he says, "Go therefore into all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you to the very end of the age." The Great Commission, that is what Jesus gives them right here. And I'm sure the apostles were like, have you ever been given an assignment and you're like, no, I'm not ready for that? They're like, whoa, okay. Comes to mind, I was an apprentice aircraft mechanic. I worked on little airplanes, but I wasn't making a lot of money. So I got a job at Toronto International Airport working for this bigger company. And my very first day in the job, the guy gives me a check sheet and says, go do a walk around on that airplane. And I'm looking at this airplane, I'm like, are you sure? I don't know. I'm a lot bigger than anything I've looked at before. I'm sure the apostles were like, really? Us? That's what? Anyways, they had some work to do. Acts chapter 1, verse 15. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering about 120, and said, we're going to get to what he said in just a minute. My point here that I want to make, which I've already made about three times, they were a small group, 120. Okay, so I want to talk a little bit about what we see in Acts chapter 1 as how, what were the foundations that this church is growing on. So we're going to talk about how the church grows, but let's start with the foundation. What are the foundational pieces? And the very first foundation that we can see is that it's founded on Jesus' teachings. We can tell that because as they talked about who should be the apostle that replaces Judas, what's the criteria? Peter says this, therefore it is necessary to choose one of the men who have been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus was living among us, beginning from John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken up from us, for one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. We need someone who understands the full context. We need someone who was there, heard Jesus speaking, witnessed Jesus' life, witnessed his miracles, someone who is rooted in what Jesus said and did. That's who needs to be the apostle. And so I think the church needs to be rooted in Jesus' teaching. Second foundation is the Holy Spirit. Officially, the book of Acts is called the Acts of the Apostles. But I do like the version that says it's actually the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Because over and over again, we see references to how the Holy Spirit leads. And we see even Jesus telling them in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, on one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem. But wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And so there's this waiting because this important gift of the Holy Spirit needs to come. And throughout the book of Acts, we're going to see how much they relied on the leading of the Holy Spirit. Okay. Yes, and so as they were nominating somebody, what did they say? They found two people, Joseph called Barsabbas, also known as Justice, and Matthias, and these two had met the criteria. They'd been with Jesus all the way from the beginning. And what did they do? They prayed, Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which one of these two you have chosen to take over this apostolic ministry with Judas left to go where he belongs. And so they sought God's leading. They sought the Holy Spirit in this. And it's interesting because how do you discern the Holy Spirit in this? They chose to cast lots. And it's a kind of an Old Testament thing to do, but it's an interesting thing is that is how they chose to hear the Holy Spirit. And the lot fell to Matthias, so he was added to the 11 apostles. Okay. Moving on. Another foundation of the New Testament church is actually the Old Testament scriptures. All of these guys were Jewish. They were rooted in the Old Testament. The Old Testament had prophesied about Jesus. But more than that, there was a lot of wisdom in the Old Testament. And so we can see this in chapter 1 as Peter stood up among the believers, group number 120, and said, "Brothers and sisters, the scripture had to be fulfilled." So it was right away a quote from the scripture in which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through David concerning Judas, who served as a guide for those who arrested Jesus. "He was one of our number and shared in our ministry. For," said Peter, "it is written in the book of Psalms, 'May his place be deserted, let there be no one to dwell in it, and may another take his place of leadership.'" So they're looking at the Old Testament. They're trying to discern, how does this Old Testament speak into what we have here? Now, I think one of the real challenges that they will have, and you know what? It's a challenge to this very day. What parts of the Old Testament do we listen to? Jesus says he fulfilled the law and the prophets. What parts are fulfilled and are not, are complete and not part of this Christian faith that is emerging? What parts are still relevant? And, you know, they wrestled with that. And we will see through the book of Acts how they wrestle with, you know, for instance, circumcision was a big part of the Jewish faith. Is it part of the Christian faith? They had to wrestle with that. We continue today to wrestle with it. I love picking on tattoos because it's in Leviticus. Can have tattoos. I know a bunch of you have tattoos, and it's sort of like I saw on Cindy's Facebook page, she just got a new tattoo, and which is awesome. I don't have any, you know why? Because we understand the context. We understand you shouldn't have tattoos because that was part of, in the Old Testament, worship of other gods. That none of you are worshiping gods by having other tattoos, and so it's not relevant. It doesn't apply, right? There's a pastor that actually has that, has a tattoo that says Leviticus whatever. And when you look up Leviticus whatever, that's the verse. Don't have tattoos. It's a little bit of a humor thing. So we continue to wrestle. Does that apply? Does that not apply? I don't think that applies. But we continue often to wrestle as the New Testament church, even 2,000 years later. Finally, we see a foundation of the New Testament church is the community of believers. And we see them. It's so neat early in the book of Acts how the Christians gather together, how much they do together. And so even in chapter 1, there's a few references to that. So it's immediately after Jesus ascends, we see that they gather together. It says those present were Peter, John, James, and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon, Zealot, Judas, son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. And so there's this gathering together as Peter stands up to say, hey, we got to find someone new. They're gathered, 120 believers gathered together. They wanted to be together. So cool that Jesus' brothers are there, right? Because earlier in the Gospels, we see that Jesus' brothers didn't really buy into Jesus. They're like, we got to take this guy away. He's kind of gone loony. Now they're believers. And often people don't realize that the James that is referenced here, Peter, John, James, that James we're going to see in just a few chapters. That James is the first of the apostles to be martyred. So he's killed fairly early. The James that wrote the letter James is actually a brother of Jesus. And that James becomes very dominant in the early leadership of the church. And so clearly these brothers of Jesus come to believe through his death and resurrection, believe that Jesus really was who he said he was all along. I'm sure it's pretty tough as his brother to say, really, you're the Son of God? And it took a little while for them to come around to that. And so throughout this series, we're going to keep reflecting back on what does that mean for us? How do we, as Crossroads Church, fulfill those functions that we talked about, evangelism, fellowship, service, and worship? How do we stay rooted in these foundations? I love that we are part of the Anabaptist tradition, and so we hold to Jesus' teachings as being central. We interpret all of the Bible through the lens of what Jesus... Jesus is the perfect revelation of God, and so that's how we understand the rest of the Bible. I love that. I think that the Holy Spirit is something we don't probably talk enough about, and we want to lean in and during this series talk a lot about how the Holy Spirit leads and guides. I think we continue to look to the Old Testament for guidance, but continue to wrestle with that a little bit. We have a strong community here. The one additional thing I would say that we can lean on, after 2,000 years of Christianity, we have 2,000 years of the Holy Spirit leading and guiding the church, and we can look back and say, you know, sometimes the church went off and had to be corrected. And we can learn from the history of the church how it prospered, how it did well, how it got off track, and so we have a lot to learn from how the Holy Spirit has led for the last 2,000 years. All of those, I think, will be important pieces as we think about how Crossroads can be the church in the 21st century, almost exactly 2,000 years after these words were written. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the book of Acts. And the amazing way that you led these apostles who were just regular guys, fishermen and tax collectors, and you led them to be leaders of a church. Help us, equip us to be brave and courageous in teaching and leading people into relationship with you. We want to be led ourselves closer and closer to you. We as a church want to lead one another, but we also want to reach out across the equator and lead people into faith in you. In Jesus' name.